Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. You've got Mike, Pete, James across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Your number to call. Bob Stoops is going to join us. Got a book out called No Excuses. Will join us about 20 minutes from now. So that'll be a good conversation. Talk a little bit about his days in Oklahoma and all the success that he's had. Look ahead as well. But we kick off this hour. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Baker Mayfield takes a jab back at Rex Ryan.
He does. We discussed a lot earlier. Here he is in his own words. So Rex Ryan went on ESPN, I believe it was Get Up, in the morning, the Greenberg show, and went on the airwaves and took Baker Mayfield to task and, quote-unquote overrated, went in a little bit more than that as well if you go back and watch the comments. Here's Mayfield yesterday addressing the overrated comments by Rex.
It's whatever. I mean, in the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason, so it's okay.
There you go. And speaking of Freddie Kitchens, here's their head coach, the Browns head coach, that is, talking about the comments.
I appreciate his opinion and all that, but he's not in our building. He has no idea what we're doing. So I'd answer that with that.
Neither does Freddie.
Is he a one-read quarterback? No, he's not. I mean, that's asinine to even say.
One-read quarterback, yeah, because that's something else Rex Ryan said about Mayfield as a one-read quarterback. Well, the wise words of Freddie Kitchens we just heard right there. I thought that was the funniest part of the Baker Mayfield drop. Second time I heard the audio there. Second time I heard it there. In the wise words of Freddie Kitchens. I look at Freddie Kitchens. I don't think of wise or words.
Yeah.
I think of a badly trimmed beard.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's like country, the country man.
That's kind of my thing.
Yes. No, yours is more trimmed.
More trimmed. Yeah, Andrew Bogus has a beard like that.
Does he?
He's got a little mishmash thing going on. He shouldn't be growing facial hair.
No, I thought he looked pretty good for himself today.
You're being kind.
Sharp. Yeah. Maybe I'm graying on a curve a little bit. You look at the very fact of, listen, they're easy to pick at right now. They haven't played well. If the Browns were 3-0 instead of being a 1-2 football team, they wouldn't be facing the criticism. And maybe they'd still be facing some of it, Taz, if Mayfield was struggling and they were 3-0, because of Mayfield being as outspoken as he was in the offseason. I mean, we said it time and time again. When you open up your mouth and you say the stuff that they said, they have every right to do it.
Yeah.
Guys are going to be willing to do it and be willing to talk and grab headlines and be pitch man. But if you're going to be as open and honest as Mayfield has been, when you play poorly, you're going to face the criticism. And that's really what it comes down to. Whether it be Greg Williams saying that Odell Beckham Jr. is not dynamic, whether it be now Rex Ryan saying that Mayfield's overrated and being a one-read quarterback. This is what happens when you decide to put a target on your back, and they've got to get used to it. And now they've got to thrive. They're no longer the NFL's darlings as they were a year ago, where everybody's pulling for the Cleveland Browns and saying, this is great, this is riveting, Mayfield is fantastic. Now they're the team that people love to root against, that love to see them fail every single week. That's the hat they wear. Mm-hmm. They switched hats in the offseason. They've got to deal with it because they brought it upon themselves.
Yeah, and we spoke about this weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks ago, how, yeah, you're right, they were the NFL darling, especially once Odell Beckham Jr. went from the Giants to the Browns. And they have a lot of talent on that team, and sitting one and two right now, and just Baker has not been playing great, at all. I know it's his second year in the league, but you're right. When you put that spotlight on yourself, and a lot of people felt like Williams should have got that head coaching job, not Freddie Kitchens. Williams was ending that season great last year as the head coach, Greg Williams. And then Kitchens, he was either the OC or the quarterback coach. It escapes me. And
he was the offensive coordinator.
Right. So right. He
took
and
for Haley.
Correct. Thank you. And he and, Baker have a good bond, a good friendship, coach to player type thing, but they're friends. And so, you know, so you got the quarterback, you got the coach you wanted, Baker. You got your quarter, your coach in Freddie Kitchens, and you got all these weapons around you. You got an amazing defensive player, Myles Garrett, on the edge, who can wreak havoc. Olivier Vernon, good linebacker. You know, Sheldon Richardson from the Jets, interior defensive tackle there. You know, Denzel Ward, I think, might be hurt. But I could have sworn he played last week or the week before. And a hell of a cornerback out of Ohio State in the second year. Anyway, point is you got a bunch of weapons on that team, a bunch of spotlight on that team. Hey, you got to expect it. You got to expect it. Now, that people are going to take shots at you. I do feel, and I said this earlier when we were doing this, talking about this topic here, that it's really, I think that Rex Ryan went a little too far. And he was like a pretty, not a violent words, but he's like basically saying that he sucked. He more or less just said Baker Mayfield's overrated. He's a one-read quarterback, and he's like damn well overrated. Like, it just was really kind of like aggressive. So if I'm Baker Mayfield, dude, I'm taking the high road on this, and I'm saying, hey, listen, that's his opinion, no problem. You know, right now, you. No one wants to kick nobody when they're down. And you pointed that out earlier. That's what Ryan's doing. He's like you said it best, low-hanging fruit. That's what the Browns are for someone who does what we do or people do on TV. So to do that is like you're either in – Rex Ryan's either trying to get a new contract or be another ESPN talking head that has a hot take.
But but you're also playing to the masses, right?
Yeah, because people don't like the Browns. Right.
They don't like it. They don't like the Browns. They like to root against the Browns, and they like the fact that you've seen sloppy, undisciplined play, bad play calling from Kitchens.
Can't be mean-spirited about it. That's what he was.
I don't disagree. I'm not telling you he's right. I don't want to come across and tell you that anyone can say whatever the hell they want to say. But it is not something where I'd rather hear if someone's going to give me something that. Here's something I don't know. For you to criticize Mayfield when he's not playing well, where were you last year?
Right.
Where was Rex Ryan? Was Rex Ryan? Here's where I'd love to hear, right? Mayfield last year, Taz, threw 26 touchdown passes. Did Rex Ryan say he was a one-read quarterback last year?
No.
Did Rex Ryan say he was overrated last year?
I don't think he
did. I'd have more respect for an analyst that tells you, this guy's playing really well, but watch out.
Right.
This is going to come back to haunt. This guy's playing really well. He is not as good as he is playing right now. Because then, as an audience, you know what? You're stepping out. I'm learning something. Rex Ryan didn't step out. He's basically hitting, it's putting the ball on a tee, right? Mayfield's not playing well. Last year, I didn't hear from Rex. Everyone was extolling the virtues. Everyone loved the Browns. Everyone loved Mayfield. Everyone said, look at this. This is great. Look at the Brown fan. They're resurgent. They deserve this. They've earned this. Look at the ineptitude they've had to deal with. John Dorsey. He should be executive of the year. Look at everything that they've done. And they were the media darling. Nobody criticized Mayfield as a player. You might not like his personality. I'm talking about as a player on the field. Rex, if he was a one-read quarterback this year, he was a one-read quarterback last year. I didn't hear Rex Ryan tell me he was a one-read quarterback last year.
No, I didn't hear him say it either. It's just bandwagon Jones. Just jump on it because it's the easy guy to hate right now is Baker Mayfield. And you don't want to kick him like we were saying when he's down, but it's because he chirps so much. But if you're Rex Ryan, you're supposed to be a defensive guru to the point you're making moves. I mean, hey, then why didn't you're right? Why didn't he say something last year? Why didn't he see something? If he's a defensive guru all the years, his father, his brother, him, all this stuff, and if he's a defensive stud coach, then why didn't he see like some potential of the one read quarterback or that he's overrated? I mean, and I agreed with Ryan when I said this early in the week on our show here. I didn't hear the full comments by Rex Ryan. I heard him say he was overrated. You mentioned on the show here. And I do think, and I do agree, that Baker Mayfield is a little bit overrated before all the attention and hype that he gets. And we went deep on that, what is overrated.
Check out the podcast, radio.com. Right.
That's the best way to do that.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher.
Stitcher, yeah, that's what you want to do.
No, but you did. You went into it in terms of in terms of overrated, but we also, you and I look at overrated as being a little bit different. In terms of, listen, he hasn't accomplished anything, but he's the next big shiny star. that people want a piece of. And everybody seems to want a piece of him.
He's always going to have a microphone and camera in front of his face, Baker Mayfield, because he's been like that since college. He's an opinionated guy. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And we all know, we've heard it ad nauseum, we know he's got a chip on his shoulder. And that's great. We all respect the chip. We know the story. Walk on, this, that, then go to OU. We heard the whole thing. We know. And it's all true. And the kid accomplished a lot. No doubt about it. But now it's grown-ass time stuff, okay? You got to be a boy, big boy now, and you got to win football games because you're always chirping, and you got every weapon you could imagine on that team. And you do have a crappy offensive line, but you got to stop chirping, and you got to stop winning, Baker. And then they'll shut everybody up, including the Rex Ryans.
They will. Now, when Mayfield plays well, I want to hear Rex say, well, he's still a one-read quarterback.
Actually, you got to be careful, though, when you're a former NFL coach, right? You're supposed to be a defense guru, right? You're right, though.
All right. I want to hear him say it then. He's still a one-read quarterback, but that one-read's working. All right. Next.
Yeah, there you go.
Number two.
Melvin Gordon to reportedly end holdout on Thursday.
Yeah, today. So he comes back, Taz. The reports about a month ago when this holdout was going on, and we're talking about training camp now, is that Gordon was going to be back with the team by week six. It's week four.
Yeah.
He's going to report. Chargers on the road taking down on Miami. He will not be playing this weekend, so you will not see him suiting up and playing for the Chargers. But he ends his holdout. He lost about close to $1 million in salary, $900,000 in change. The Chargers have got racked up $1.2 million in fines against Melvin Gordon. He didn't get the contract that he was looking for, maybe overplayed his hand a little bit. The Chargers at one point in time, Taz, did offer him an extension that would give him $10 million a year. I don't know what I forget what the guaranteed money on that deal was, but I know on average it was $10 million a year. Melvin and his agent thought he was worth more than that. He comes back, so the Chargers get a little bit stronger starting week five.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, we had a long conversation about this earlier. You know, I understand what he's doing here. He don't want to spend it. He don't want to lose any more money. And he probably misses playing. And he wants to get back on the field and play. He's 26 years old. He's a really, really good running back. He knows Eckler's getting better and better each week. And he can, the more Eckler's in there, the more he's sitting home, Gordon, the more that this guy is going to, you know, it's going to be tough for Gordon when he's back to get that starting job back. You know, so maybe they run a two-back system. Who knows? Let's see what they do. But it's not happening this week, as we know, because like you said, that Gordon's not playing this week. I got no problem with like the way he came back in. I think the kid got some bad advice from his representation, from his agent and his lawyer and his team. I do think they, you know, when he had that $10 million offer, it escapes me also what the guarantee was. I'm with you on that. So when he got that 10 mil deal, he probably should have taken that. He probably thought a little bit too much of himself, or the people around him thought too much of him. And he tried to play the game with the Chargers, and the Chargers didn't blink.
No.
And now he's got to come back into the fold here. So, yeah.
Come back into the fold, and if you're a Charger fan, you're excited. Because you're a better football team. And him and Eckler in the backfield is better than just Eckler alone, even though he played well through the first 3 weeks. And, you know, you're trying to bounce back after, you know, a tough home loss last week against the Houston Texans, and you've lost back-to-back games. Now, you get a soft landing spot this week in Miami. They're not going to need Melvin Gordon, obviously, Taz, but it's good to see him back in the NFL because you want your stars playing. He certainly is a star running back. And the Chargers, they've got aspirations of not only making the playoffs, Taz, but also going on a Super Bowl run. And they've got a ways to go in order to get there as a team and dealt with some injuries as well. To have Gordon back in the fold is a good thing if you're Philip Rivers, too.
I was just going to say the words out of my mouth. Just going to say, you know, Rivers is happy.
Yeah. Who talked tough, remember?
Yeah,
we talked about at the time. He was like, running back room's great. Screw you. How do you say that to me?
I know, right?
All right, funny. Next.
Number three.
Twins clinch AL Central, and the Brewers clinch a wild card spot.
Yeah, so still a lot here in play for Major League Baseball, Taz, as we wind it down here in the final, five games of the MLB regular season, give or take. The season will end Sunday afternoon with the game starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which you do like. But, you know, a lot of stuff is still up for grabs. We mentioned, as you just heard, the Brewers, who just clinched the second wild card spot.
Right.
But they have a chance to not only be the number one wild card, as the Nats clinched a wild card spot the night before, but they're only a game and a half behind the St. Louis Cardinals,
Yeah.
in the division,
right,
in the National League Central. Right. So you would think, well, the Brewers, as you saw Bob Uecker, great pictures in the clubhouse last night, celebrating, enjoying it, Taz, as they clinched a playoff berth. There's still a lot of movement potentially there. You know the teams that are going to be involved, but there's a possibility the Cards could be a wild card team.
Mm.
The Nats could be on the road and be the second wild card team. The Brewers could win the division. The Bruins could be the first wild card team. Or it could stand as it lays right now with the Cardinals winning the division, Nats as the number one wild card, and the Brewers as the second wild card.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, if you're not an avid baseball fan, it's a roadmap. You know, but like you said, there's still stuff in play. I mean, the clear-cut stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously the Yankees with the AL East, and now obviously the Twins with the AL Central, and the AL West is the Astros. So, and what else? NL East, my Mets, for those that are wondering, they're Gonski. So that's the Atlanta Braves. They got that. And you just went over the whole scenario, the whole situation with the Central, with the Cardinals and the Brewers. And, of course, the Dodgers locked in the West. So, and then you got the wild card with the Nats and the Brewers. So
yeah, and you also have the wild card in the American League, Taz, where you got two teams. You've got three spots, the Rays, the Indians, and the Athletics. Chapman with a big two-run home run last night for Oakland. Mm. They're at 95 and 63. The Rays are at 95 and 64. And the Cleveland Indians have got some work to do as they're sitting there at 93 and 65. Sorry to your Mets. Yep. Last night was elimination night for the Mets.
Gonski, no problem.
Before they took
the
field.
Way it goes, buddy. Way it goes.
You're going to win Rookie of the Year, Alonso.
Yeah.
And DeGrom's going to win the Cy Young. So you're going to have that to be happy about in the offseason.
That makes it even worse. Because you got these two guys that
had great years.
Offense and defense had a great, right. And you're not in the postseason, you know. And
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's great. 51st home run for Pete Alonso. The kid's unbelievable. I mean, smashed a 3-1 homer last night. But, no, listen, man. And obviously DeGrom. But it's frustrating because, you know, like we were just saying, you got an unbelievable offensive weapon. And you got an unbelievable defensive weapon, and you're going to be sitting home watching. You know, you're not in the games. You know, it sucks.
That does, and you never know how any given year is going to take. You like the resiliency the Mets have shown here. We'll see what they do with their manager, Mickey Callaway. But, you know, how good is DeGrom, who was once again brilliant last night, and he's going to win the Cy Young for a second consecutive year.
He's so good to sit home in the postseason and watch.
Well,
I hate to be negative, but I
understand, but just enjoy what he's able to do. He's so good. It's utterly ridiculous.
I respect him. He's great. I love him.
Unbelievably brilliant. The strikeouts, over 250 Ks. His ERA, dominant. But Taz, the art form of pitching. He doesn't need his A-plus stuff. He works his way through hitters. He's really kind of an artist out there on the mound. It's fun to watch.
He is. Fun to watch. I wish.
Sorry
he was
about
playing.
Your Mets.
That's the thing. It's
There's always 2020.
Yeah, I've been hearing that my whole life.
I'm not going to deny that. But I'll say it once again. There's always next year.
I know. You know, DeGrom's great. Alonso's great.
And McNeil fractured wrist last night. Yeah. He's done for the year. So.
Well, we're done for the year. So it don't
You're
matter.
Correct. That is true.
So
that is
I hope
very,
he gets better. I like
that
McNeil.
Very true statement. Yeah, we're going to talk to Bob Stoops. He's got a new book out. Former Oklahoma coach. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Thursday morning right here. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
He's got a new book out. No Excuses is the title. Legendary Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, nothing, man. Good to be with you guys, Taz and Moose. I love those two guys.
Well, there you go. You know, Coach, you know, you look at it, you know, certainly, you know, everyone loves and you're, you know, had so much success on the college level. You know, you need the talent, you need the players, but what do you think, you know, your greatest attribute was as a head coach? What led to all the success you had?
Oh, man, I think just connecting with my players and my coaches, you know, and what we wanted to do you know, just having a clear message and the connection there between the players and coaches, I think, as much as anything. You know, just there's nothing better than the relationship with your, you know, with your guys, with your players.
Coach, I'm sure, Coach, I'm assuming that all the years, like Moose said, all the success you had, and all the great players you had, and maybe medium level players or not great players, they were still your guys, no matter how good bad they were. But I'm sure you had to deal with. I mean, dealing with, it's crazy, right? You made your living dealing with these young guys, 18, 19, 20 year old guys, and as you know, they could make some mistakes. So you always seem to keep guys in line. I mean, at times, I'm sure it was tough, but. Probably some of that you don't miss, I'm sure, right? Dealing with some of that, right?
Well, you know what? Oddly, you do miss it. You just enjoy, those guys at that age are so much, so funny. All the energy, all the different things they do. It's fun.
Right.
And you're right. You know what? You have the problems here or there that are difficult, but that's 1% of it. Most of the time, though, these guys, I tell the story about Tommy Harris, All-American D lineman and first round draft pick D lineman. One day I get a note on my desk. It was the start of fall camp, and I figured his dad would always hug me. His dad was Tommy Harris Sr., and he would always hug me and said, "Coach, I'm praying for you and I love you." I'm like, "Yeah, he's great guy." So I get a pink slip on my desk, and it said, "I stopped by to see you. I love you and I'm praying for you, Tom Harris."
Mm.
And so I figured it was, his dad always said that to me. So I go out to practice the next morning, and I tap Tommy on the foot, and I go, "Hey, I got a nice note from your dad. I had a pink slip on my desk that said, he stopped by to say I love you and I'm praying for you." And Tommy, I see him, he doesn't say anything. And he's smiling, and he says, "Coach, that wasn't my dad. That was me."
That's great.
That's great, yeah. That's
and I'm
awesome.
Like, man, these guys are unbelievable. And then I winked at him. I go, "Any special reason you're praying for me?" But those are the kind of things that you just, it's priceless, man. There's this big old monster D-lineman, that stops by to tell me that,
That's awesome.
Coach, when did it hit you when you were coaching at Oklahoma that there was going to be this transformation in the college game, the Big 12, in terms of being more offensive than defensive?
I can't say when it actually, we were one of the first to ever do the wide open spread attack. I hired Mike Leach from Kentucky to run the air raid offense in 99 when I took the job. And then it spread after that when Mike left me at Oklahoma to become the head coach at Texas Tech. And little by little, just every year there'd be another guy branch out and another guy. I can't say I can really pinpoint when I really realized, maybe 5-6 years ago that, look, this isn't going away and everybody's learning to throw the football so efficiently and so well. That it's not stopping, it's so hard to deal with people that can throw it, spread the field and throw it so efficiently and throw it so well.
Coach, Moose and I were talking earlier a lot about, not to drag into this, I just want to get your viewpoint on a player that you know well, but we were talking about, I'm sure you heard the comments Rex Ryan made about Baker Mayfield, saying he's a one-read quarterback and he's extremely overrated and all this jazz. I just want to get your view, your breakdown of Baker, of him as a player. And I know he's so young in his NFL career right now, but, just if you could just break him down a little bit for us. I mean, the type of guy he is and the type of player he is in any way you'd like to.
Well, there's a larger sample size a year ago where he played more than a couple of games, two or three games. He had a big sample size last year, and Rex or no one else was saying that about him. After about 6 games last year,
right. So that's what you just said. Moose, my partner, was saying earlier exactly what you just said. Rex wasn't saying that last year. Exactly what we were saying here.
And last year it wasn't one or two games. It was a half of a season and played really well. It was came close to maybe even getting in the playoffs. So the bottom line is he's that kind of guy. He's a winner. He's got a great arm. He's incredibly smart, bright guy that can make more than one read. No one in this league, at the NFL or at the collegiate level, whatever, does it alone. So, I think he's going to continue to do well. Baker's got you know, he's got the smarts, he's got the toughness, he's got the attitude, he's got the talent, the arm talent to do whatever any a successful NFL coach player is doing out there. He can do it. I'm just anxious to see him the rest of the year. I think he'll do well.
Coach, when you look back on your 18 years in Norman leading the Sooners, is there a game, a team, a play? Is there something you think back on the most?
Oh, gosh. I it's hard to get away from the 2000 National Championship run. We had Kansas State, Texas, and Nebraska all in a row. And we beat, Texas 63-14. And then we beat number one in the country, Nebraska 31-14. You know, and all our fans stormed the field. And that was one, that was one that was really special, that whole run and up to the national championship.
Coach, I got to ask you, what's the deal? You grew up, you came up, as a young guy in Youngstown, Ohio. What is in the water with the coaches? I mean, like, it's all these great coaches. All you guys come out of Youngstown all these years. Like, is there something in the water there or what?
Yeah, there's a lot of coaches through that area. You know, I think we grew up with, for sure, just great head coaches from a young age. Guys that, grew up with, high school coaches that were really special.
Yeah, we're here. It's a bad connection. We got you, though.
But, just a bunch of guys, even, the Eddie DeBartolo Jr., Eddie DeBartolo's from our high school, the DeBartolo family. I was talking earlier, Ray Boom Boom Mancini,
champ of the world for three years. Yep.
He grew up on our block when we went to grade school and high school together.
That's awesome.
So it's just, it's just kind of a tough, rough area, but really great. Great place to grow up and, little small neighborhoods that we all hung out together. And we take our street of guys, go over and play another street of guys and tackle football or basketball, whatever it was. So it was a great place to grow up.
Coach, did you think, when you stepped down as Sooner coach and Lincoln Riley takes over, obviously you thought very, very highly of him. Did you think he would be, this successful this soon?
I did, and it was really part of the reason I had the feeling to go ahead and I was able to step away because I knew the program wouldn't, would continue to do well and go forward in a positive way, not be hurt in any way. And otherwise, after you put so much time and effort in the building set, you sure don't want it to, something, it not to be what you want it to be. And I thought it would continue to do well.
Final one for you, Coach. XFL, getting involved a little bit. Tell us a little bit about decision to join the XFL, what fans should expect from the XFL February of 2020.
I think it's going to be really exciting. There's a lot of really great football players. You think of the last five guys let go from every NFL team. That's a bunch of really good football players.
Right.
So I really believe we got great, great leadership in our commissioner, Oliver Luck, and, owner, Taz would know, Vince McMahon.
Yes, of course.
And, I think we're going to be in great shape. We've had we've already got great TV contracts in place with national broadcasts on ESPN, Fox, and ABC. So I think it's going to be really good.
That's awesome. Hey, Coach, and by the way, we have a mutual friend, as you know, good old JR, Jim Ross.
I know, man,
and he's always spoken so highly of you all the time and all the years I've worked with JR in WWE. So I feel like I know you because he's always talked about you.
Yeah, no doubt. JR's been a great friend forever and since I arrived at Oklahoma and bump into him here and there, or we intentionally meet up once in a while. So I knew you would know him well.
Yes, sir, man. Well, it's great to have you on here.
Yeah, Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with the XFL. Great book, No Excuses. Wherever books are sold, go check it out. The legendary Oklahoma coach for 18 years, Bob Stoops. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, so good morning to you, and thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
You too, Coach. Thank you.
You as well. There you have
awesome. Yeah, I wish we had a little bit of a better connection, but what are you going to do? I mean, it happens,
Yeah.
We got him back. I mean, Mike and his team got him back on. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think he was, as Pete was saying, he was ordering some silver dollar pancakes at the diner.
Oh, was he really?
No, it was a joke. I was being, it was
I don't know if they have that down south. Silver
pancakes?
Dollar. Come on now.
Silver dollar.
Silver dollar. I don't know. That might be more of a New York thing. I'm going to get hit with tweets.
I don't even know.
Mississippi. We got silver dollar pancakes everywhere we go. You know what you're talking about, Yankee ass.
Well, maybe offer some corned beef hash.
Yeah.
Oof, two eggs over easy.
Speaking of corned beef hash, look who just walked in.
Yeah. Oh. What's going on, Bogus?
Hey, guys. It's great to be back.
Great. Always great to see you.
So, the Central Division.
How are your boards working out outside?
Oh, we're okay.
You're
coming along.
Are you through both teams, offensively and defensively?
What are you talking about? Bring me into the conversation.
Play-by-play chart.
I didn't know. No one told me about this. How did I not know that he was working on this?
He didn't walk by my desk.
Yeah.
My cubicle.
Well, he does it every time he's got his boards out.
He's got to wait for Bob Stoops to finish.
What are you peeping over his shoulder, Moose? Like, I don't
know. No, it's clear as day. Oh. You don't even have to approach him to see it.
I never look at him outside the studio. I don't even look at him in the studio.
I know.
So I didn't even know he was doing that.
Right.
That being said, Tez, if you want to swing by the compound later and break down Richmond football team,
so what we're talking about is so
spiders.
Like if you're doing a play-by-play game, there's like usually offensive and defensive board for each team, and so like offensive team, defensive team will be on the same kind of. I mean, it's a big piece of paper. How big of a piece of paper would you?
It's legal size for me.
Legal
That's
size.
Some my printer
have
can
some
handle.
Have like kind of small poster board.
Are you telling me this or the audience?
The audience. Oh, you flip it over to the other side. Now there are people.
Mike's going to take a picture.
Now there are people that actually do that for a living and get paid for it.
I know. There's also now like internet website services where you can say I'm doing these teams.
Oh, really?
And I think you can actually. If it depends on
what
how
do
much
they charge you for that.
Well, that's the thing. There's like tiered pricing. You can sit down with one of their tech guys and make like the template the way you want it to, and then you say like I'm doing Oklahoma State football, and it fills in all of the data.
Oh wow, which, that takes out all the hard work though.
Yeah, but when you're doing three games a week, that's a huge help.
So if you want minimal stuff though, what would they charge you? $50 a game?
You know what? Whatever it was, 100? It was already too much for me to even look at it. So I didn't even bother.
But wait, why wouldn't you get who are you calling this game for? Fordham?
Well. Part of the reason was a lot of things I do are high school, and those are not in the database.
What are you doing? Albany,
today,
Richmond?
Today, this week, I'm doing Fordham and Richmond.
Oh, Fordham,
the guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
Shut up, Zach.
1 o'clock start.
1 o'clock start on Saturday in the Bronx, yeah.
In the
Tickets
Bronx.
Remain if you guys are interested.
In the Bronx.
As we broadcast live from Fordham University, women's basketball.
I'm surprised you can say Fordham.
Is it Saquon?
There you go.
Fair. Thank you.
Wow.
So the Central Divisions were the only ones left to be decided this baseball season. The Twins took care of the AL last night with a 5-1 win in Detroit and Cleveland's 8-3 loss at the White Sox. Rocco Baldelli, a proud manager.
It's a beautiful night for everybody here. And when you spend this much time working towards a goal and you try to do it as best you can every day and you try to do it the right way and you watch all the people around you doing it the right way, it feels great.
Baldelli speaking on FS North. This is the Twins' first division title since 2010. Cleveland's loss also drops them a game and a half behind the Rays for the second wild card. Tampa Bay shut out the Yankees last night 4-0. They remain a half game behind the A's, who won in Anaheim 3-2. The Brewers completed the NL playoff picture, coasting through Cincinnati 9-2. They could be either wild card or win that Central. They're a game and a half behind the Cardinals. And Zach Greinke, no-hit the Mariners for 8 1/3 last night.
Just gave us some hits the last couple guys.
Yeah, you think? Austin Nola denied history. Greinke let another single, then let the bullpen finish off the 3-0 win in Seattle. The Astros now lead the Yanks by 2.5 for the best overall record. Week 4 in the NFL begins with the Eagles and Packers at Lambeau tonight, 8:20 Eastern. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon reportedly ends his holdout today. He will not play this weekend no matter what. And the Jaguars again wondering when Jalen Ramsey will be back. He left the team last night to be with his wife as she gives birth to their second child. Ramsey was out sick on Monday, then sat out practice yesterday with back troubles. Guys?
All right, cool.
Much appreciated. Well, I mean, that's an awesome job by you and Andrew.
Yeah,
you know what?
Right through it. Rip
I'll
and read.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I mean, I miss these. I hate these segments because that means you're done.
The last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, if you want to hang out after the show, I'm here for a while still. If you want to sit and chit chat, the desk
work
next
on the
to
balls
me is
with
open.
You a little bit? Yeah.
You want to? Yeah.
Let me think about it.
No,
I'm good. Thanks.
I'd ask.
All right.
Well, come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Taz and the Moose on a Thursday morning, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Good show. Check it out. Podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Bless you, Taz. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Your number to call on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on that car insurance. Let's get to it. Here we go. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Yes, Mike.
Who would you rather start your franchise with? Sam Darnold or Danny Dimes?
Oh, beginning to rev it up already. I'm not going to deny Jones looked great. It's just one game, though. I'd still take Darnold, but I can understand those will take Danny Dimes or the Duke.
Yeah, I'll go with the Duke, the Blue Devil himself, the young Blue Devil, Daniel Jones, Jones. I'll go with him. I mean, I like Sam Darnold. I think he's a good player, but I don't know. I'm buying in. I'm buying in with this kid. Yeah, I think he's the real deal. It would have been a hell of a 1v1, Mike, but we kind of just let the cat out of the bag. I know you love cats.
Meow.
Exactly.
He looked great, though. Jones looked great last week.
He did.
I'm sure he's going to look very, very good against a tough, tough Redskin team.
Maybe De'Ron Payne will get on him.
I doubt it.
That poor guy.
I got a lot of Alabama players there.
Send him to Buffalo. I wish he was on the Bills, De'Ron Payne.
So did you see Bisegla last week? I guess, did you get a tip that was a penny?
I did, yes.
So why?
Last Sunday.
So what?
That's messed up.
And now you posted on. So give us a little bit of the detail behind that.
Yeah, so the way it works through Uber Eats is you get tipped on the app. And it usually comes in about an hour to 2 hours later. You'll get a recognition that, hey, you're tipped. And somebody sent me a 1 cent tip. There's a lot of times where I'll get no tip at all or anywhere from $1 to $20. But this was the first time a cent was given as a tip, which clearly means...
Think they messed up?
No, I think there was a statement was being made.
No, it wasn't. They messed up. Moose is right. And I'll tell you how, because I've done this. I've done this as a big tipper. I've never made this mistake. I've almost made this mistake because I'm a frequent Uber Eats person. Because everybody in my house loves Uber Eats, and they just use my account. So basically, did you have a problem? I have a couple of questions.
Go
on this delivery.
No.
Was it a large or smaller order?
Middle. About $30 to $40.
All right. This is what could have happened, Moose. Why I'm telling you, I don't know. You didn't deliver it. Mike did, but I'm just saying anyway. When you go to tip people on them, you type in, it starts from the decimal point with a zero. So if you want to tip someone $10, or let's say $1, you have to type in 100. I'm sorry, yeah, No, 100, and then it'll come up $1. So you have to type it, manually type it in. It's a thing that comes up, it's already there. So if you don't hit that other zero, it's going to be 1 cent. I've almost done it more than once. It could happen. It's a mistake.
Oh. So basically, it was either he was going to get a cent or a dollar.
Or $10. It could have been $10.
Oh, it could have been a $10. Yeah,
well,
That would have been great. A $10.
No, $10 is very nice.
$30 to $40 delivery. That's nice.
I think you're getting off of my point. The point is the app, when you go to tip, it's a little fuzzy the way it's done. That's where you got to be careful.
Or the guy or gal was extremely cheap.
Yeah, I
did
think
he ruffle through the food?
No, everything seemed great. We had the order went down well.
Extremely late in delivery.
No, the order was perfectly done. It was
executed. The food still hot?
That I can't answer.
Did you bathe that day?
Did I Sunday?
Like, did you smell?
Sunday. This was early in the order delivery. No, I did not smell.
Like,
I was
did
freshly
he come
showered.
And were they repulsed or anything?
No. Well, he
were
told
they to send a message.
He had a note because he lived in an apartment complex that was difficult to get into. So he said, "Meet me at this bank across the street." We met in the bank. I then got out. We met out in the parking lot of the bank. I got out of my car. I delivered him food. I lied that I wanted to try the restaurant. We had a nice back and forth small talk. He took the food, went on his way. He was in his pajamas. And I thought I had a $3 to $5 tip.
What time of the day was this?
This was it was pre-NFL, so It had to be before before 1 o'clock, probably around noonish.
Listen, it's New Jersey. People do that in Jersey on Sunday. They wear their pajamas.
So at noonish, you met a guy in the parking lot of a bank.
Correct.
Who was wearing
his
pajamas.
PJs. Yes.
And
what, the rest stop was full?
This was the closest spot, so we
I think you missed
met outside
the bank.
Yeah,
went right over there.
No, I... That's disgusting.
Yeah. You're meeting a cat at 1 o'clock in his pajamas in Jersey. And that was disgusting. Listen to me.
Well, one's legitimate. By choice. This he had no idea yeah, no, show up in his pajamas.
What he told me to do.
Through the litany of Moose's questions, I actually had one. I'm trying to remember. I had a legitimate question because
mine?
This is the thing. Oh, here's my legitimate question. Did you make another delivery before that delivery?
Yes, but it wasn't a double delivery.
Oh,
this was the
saying.
First delivery from
that'll
this
piss,
restaurant.
That'll piss off a customer.
I understand that.
That'll piss off.
No, I know. But what was that, Moose?
1 cent.
1 cent tip. But it made for a good story.
That is a good story.
Well, we'll leave that up to the audience. We think it was good.
I don't know. All right, what else you got?
Me, 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 me.
Oh, my God.
All right, we talked about earlier. Okay, sorry, Zach.
We have created a monster.
We've talked earlier about Kyle. Zach, shut up. We talked about Kyle
Thank
Long
you.
And everything being available that we saw. He had a quote about it. What do you think? He said, that he was asked, was this embarrassing? He said, more like M-bear, like a tush, oh. ass-ing.
Oh, jeez. They're bored on the Bears in the locker room. They got more things to worry about. They're worried about that's really horrible humor that day. Oh, God. That's a horrible way to end the show on that quote by that guy.
Kyle Long.
Not your fault, Mike. I'm just saying.
Kind of my fault, I asked.
No, yeah. It's not your fault.
Mike, good job.
Not the fault.
James, Peter, we'll cross the way. Good job. Taz, good stuff, man,
yes,
as always. All right, enjoy your rest of your Thursday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Download the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. We appreciate all the love and support there. Have a wonderful Thursday. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.